Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
A lot of Georgia fans have been reacting to what the former great Georgia running back Tim Worley had to say this week. So Worley is good enough to join us a little bit later on in today's program to expand upon his thoughts a little bit more about why he thought the effort, the leadership for Georgia against Texas in the Sugar Bowl was lacking. This will be a fun conversation. A lot of you, I think, are glad to hear Worley speaking up and speaking out. He'll do that later on today on Dog Nation Daily. Before that, though, a lot of recruiting stuff on the program. Under Armour All-American game in Orlando was last night. We'll have more on that coming up with Jeff Sintel in a moment. Tomorrow, a big day in San Antonio. That's where Jeff is right now as the game formerly known as the U.S. Army All-American game takes place. And a couple guys that we've talked about a lot on Dog Nation Daily over the last few months will make their college decisions live tomorrow. Five-star wide receiver Jaden Hazelwood, who at this point, let's be honest, Dog fans probably don't feel that great about the chances that Hazelwood chooses Georgia, and four-star defensive back Tyreek Stevenson, who, by the way, could be on his way to a fifth star by the time all of this evaluation is done and the 2019 cycle comes to an end. Stevenson also makes his announcement tomorrow, and it is Stevenson who I think a lot of Georgia fans do feel pretty optimistic could choose UGA, despite the fact that over the last few weeks, his kind of hometown school, Miami, has put a big full-court press on, and Stevenson's tweeted some kind words about Manny Diaz, the new coach that's been hired there. Ultimately, though, that may end up being too little too late. It may be Georgia that has won this recruiting battle. At least that's what Georgia fans hope anyway. And, you know, I think overall, the situation with Stevenson is an example of one of the things this Georgia staff does really well. It's that long-range relationship building. It's that, hey, we've targeted you for a while. We continue to show you love. We make you feel good, make you feel a part of the process. And you really see with Stevenson, and you hope tomorrow the finish line gets crossed and Georgia takes the W here in terms of bringing him into the fold, but you really see the way in which the Georgia recruiting machine is supposed to work. Let's go all the way back to last summer when the quote-unquote reveal took place, when the West End Zone facility was opened up with the new recruiting lounge and the new player locker room, and that was a big deal for Georgia, big new facility to be unveiled to the world, and the best of the best recruits were invited to be a part of that. One of those was Stevenson, and he felt a lot of love from Georgia being a part of that really special event. And if you want to go back to a couple of months ago, he talked to Jeff Sintel about that. Here's what Stevenson said then.
What does Kirby tell you?
We're trying to dominate, put Georgia back on the map as top SEC schools, and we need dogs like you to do it.
So that's actually Stevenson talking about Kirby Smart there, the message that he got from him that we need dogs, we need to we need guys like you in the fold for Georgia. Do we have the one of Stevenson talking about the reveal? Do we have that one? Let's hear Stevenson on the reveal here. Let's hear him about being there at that event. Here's Tyreek Stevenson.
I was pretty excited. You know, it was amazing being there with the players. It's their first time, and it's my first time seeing it. So my reaction is just good as theirs. That's like really a good feeling. They really get that same feeling from them. And the coaches were just excited as the players. You know, we got to dress up, and it was our moment to take pictures, and I really had a fun time. I took pictures with Coach Smart, Coach Tucker and Coach Coley, and my best friend actually went with me. So we actually took pictures up there too.
So one of the things you hear from Stevenson a lot when he talks about Georgia, you heard the word fun there. You know, he talks about that fun feeling a lot. He also, as you heard a moment ago, delivered the message of, when it comes down to talk to Kirby Smart and get that message from Smart, Smart's not necessarily about the touchy-feely stuff, the fun stuff. He's about, hey, we're trying to dominate here in college football. We're trying to knock off a behemoth like Alabama. We need players like you to do it. So the message gets serious and football-centric at a certain point, but the overall vibe that Stevenson gets is, as he talked about during that reveal, it's that fun thing. It's that, hey, Georgia makes all this stuff kind of feel kind of special, kind of, the kind of place that you like coming back to because the vibe you get there. That's something that Stevenson's talked about a lot. And in fact, when he went into more detail about what he specifically liked about Georgia, you started hearing a whole lot more of that kind of talk for him. It's just the overall vibe and the feeling that he gets from UGA that has made him attracted to the program for as long as he has been. Here's Tyreek Stevenson on that.
The way the team on the rise, how the team connects as a brotherhood, and the coaches just like just Georgia, it's real peaceful, and then the facility is great, all the recruiters and all the everybody just in the facility is always in a good mood, so I like that. That's one thing I like about Georgia.
I mean, let's face it, one of the things that I think is important about Georgia, at least in terms of the way that Stevenson describes it there, is the potential contrast you get with a program like, say, Alabama. And obviously, you know, behind the scenes, things could be different than they appear to be on paper. And certainly Nick Saban has brought in a younger staff over the last, you know, year or so, trying to, I think, counterbalance the vibe that, you know, a school like Georgia gives off on the recruiting trail. And to be frank and honest, and I guess somewhat complimentary, a school like Clemson's also able to do as well. You know, the sort of harsh business approach that, you know, no fun approach that sometimes you kind of get from Alabama. Georgia's a pretty good contrast to that. Kirby Smart's just a younger coach than Nick Saban. I think he is a more genuine, you know, fun-loving coach. You know, you see him in these recruiting visits when the videos get shared, kind of, you know, joking and having a good time. He's a little bit more comfortable in his own skin there. And I think for a lot of recruits like Tyreek Stevenson, they are going to be attracted to that. It sounds like Stevenson is. And it's one of the reasons why you head toward tomorrow in San Antonio at that All-Star game when Stevenson makes his announcement on TV. It's one of the reasons why a lot of Georgia fans are certainly hopeful and feeling pretty optimistic that Stevenson might actually choose UGA when he does that. I mean, after all, as Stevenson has explained, he was actually close to committing to Georgia before. That reveal event that we were just talking about and Stevenson's feelings about being there at that event, he actually felt so good about that at the time that he almost pulled the trigger on the spot. This was a pretty candid statement from Stevenson, kind of diving into just how intense he felt about Georgia and almost feeling like he need to put the brakes in his own feelings here. So as he gets ready to make the decision tomorrow, as the time has arrived, here's how strongly he's felt about Georgia in the past.
I talked to my mom about it, and my mom was like, you know, we're on your time. You know, don't make a decision off, you know, how much excitement you have at one event. You know, just keep visiting and seeing what's up. Man, my mom is really into it, so we really talked about it. So it crossed, and then I missed it, and then it went away. Like, we talked about it on my time, and how I'm going to do it this way and that way, so...
So it was thought of, maybe chopped up, and you decided not to make a quick decision or a rush or an impulsive decision, right?
Yeah, so that's what it really was.
So listen, I mean, when it comes down, you know, to that kind of thing from Stevenson, that's one of the reasons why a lot of Georgia fans feel very good about what might happen tomorrow. And for the folks who are kind of paying attention to the timeline of all of this, it's obvious why Stevenson's decision matters. We know that Georgia's on the verge of losing DeAndre Baker. In fact, it's already lost, and Baker, as you know, didn't play in the Sugar Bowl. And just like the linebacker recruiting has worked out here, where Georgia produces a Buckus Award winner and then just absolutely cleans up on the recruiting trail for the, you know, the next two cycles, last year bringing in guys like Tendall and Quay Walker, this year bringing in guys like N'Kobe Dean and Ryan Davis and Tresman Marshall, that's the way, once again, the machine is supposed to work. You're supposed to put together a top 10 draft pick and have a lot of guys saying, I want to follow in that guy's footsteps. At linebacker, it's worked out just that way. And we may start to see the evidence that the defensive back recruiting is going to unfold much in the same fashion, where a guy like DeAndre Baker, by the way, from South Florida, coincidentally enough, wins the Jim Thorpe Award as the nation's top defensive back. And guys like Tyreek Stevenson tomorrow, then Kyrie Lam in the future, DJ Daniel already, they say, you know what? Georgia is a pretty good place for me because I can be what DeAndre Baker was. And on that cycle goes. Now, of course, as we said off the top, tomorrow is also the day the five-star wide receiver Jaden Hazelwood makes his decision. At this point in time, I don't know that there are too many Georgia fans who expect Hazelwood to pick Georgia when he makes that announcement official on TV. And listen, I'm as guilty as anybody of, you know, kind of hyping up the Hazelwood thing, and I'm not going to apologize for thinking Hazelwood is a very good player. I think he's a game-changing wide receiver, and even if he doesn't choose Georgia tomorrow, which he likely will not, I still wish Georgia had him. He is going to be a very good player. Ultimately, though, the one thing that I think maybe I should have been, you know, maybe sooner to realize is that this thing was maybe never trending back towards Georgia the way that I thought it was at one point in time. I mean, you want to go back and listen to some of the things he said in November. I probably glossed over some of this at that time, but in retrospect, it seems a little more, I guess, you know, obvious here that, you know, he wasn't watching Georgia that closely. And, you know, there was always one player on the Georgia roster more important to him than seemingly any other. Here's an example maybe from a couple of months ago that kind of foreshadows some of the reasons why Hazelwood won't be choosing Georgia when he picks tomorrow. Here's Hazelwood.
Have you been paying attention to the state school throwing the ball around a little more? How do you feel about what Georgia's doing? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, right, they've been throwing it a little bit more. I ain't really been watching them, but I've been seeing stuff on Twitter. So that's really it.
What about Justin? Did you see his highlights?
He threw a bomb to Miko, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I seen that.
What's left for you and them? What do you need to see? What, like, if you were going to take the official this weekend, what would that have done for you?
You
want to
see how everybody getting used. Everybody got a way of being used. So I'm trying to see, compare myself to a receiver they have and see how he getting used.
So ultimately, just to be frank, Hazelwood probably liked Justin Fields a lot more than he liked Georgia, which is fine. Hazelwood's likely going to choose a different school tomorrow. I will say this, though, and I've said this before. These guys that go north of the Mason-Dixon to play or west of the Mississippi River to play, when they're from the state of Georgia, when they're from the Deep South, how often do they end up being happy where they go? I think Hazelwood could be another example of that. It would not surprise me at all if Hazelwood's on the transfer market again in a couple of years. Maybe at that point in time he'll make the decision then that he should be making right now, which is to be a part of the big things going on at the University of Georgia. But all that being said, the overall bottom line for me is if Georgia gets Tyreek Stevenson tomorrow, I think there's a really good chance they do, then they don't, I don't think there's really too much reason at all to be worried about what Georgia didn't get when it comes to Jaden Hazelwood. Stevenson's the kind of talent that could be an impact defensive back for Georgia really as soon as 2019 and certainly for many years to come. And Georgia, who's looking to take that next step as a program, a guy like Tyreek Stevens would go a long way towards helping Georgia do just that. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us live on video today, Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed. We're also on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref and in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found, the Apple Podcast Player, worldfamousdognation.com, kind of everything in between. We're just really glad to have you with us on the program today. Let me also say this, really excited about Tuesday. We've got a major event that I want you to mark down in your calendar. Dog Nation is going to once again be back live at the Marlowe's Tavern in Dunwoody. It's been a while for us being at a Marlowe's event, and this is kind of getting back to our roots with one of these great countdown to signing day events. It's myself. It's Jeff Sintel. It's all from 6 to 8 p.m. this Tuesday in Dunwoody. That's 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m. for our countdown to signing day event. You want the real scoop, the real skinny on UGA recruiting? Jeff Sintel will give it to you in the building that night at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. Excited about having Jeff with us. Also, I've heard some whispers that there could be a special guest. I can't confirm that one way or another, but I've heard there may be a kind of a fun guest with us there that night, too. So we'll tell you more about that when we can. But for now, just know that Jeff and I looking forward to talking some recruiting with you at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody this Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Speaking of Jeff Sintel, he'll be with us in a couple of minutes here on Dog Nation Daily here today. And then also after that, as I said off the top of the program, the former great Georgia running back, a guy that I grew up loving in a UGA uniform and a guy that many of you were very impressed with based on his strong remarks about the Sugar Bowl this week, Tim Worley, the former Georgia running back, going to join us here today on Dog Nation Daily 2. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse here on this Friday, brought to you by Pella Window and Door. And one of the things that we have talked about, you know, going back to yesterday's show, in contrast to what Worley had to say about, you know, the devastating effects of not showing up and you know, being focused and intent on winning the Sugar Bowl. One of the things I pointed out is that while a lot of Georgia fans are upset about that, for the most part, the national media is not really holding that against UGA right now. For the most part, the national media has kind of shrugged its shoulders and said, I don't know, maybe no big deal here. An example of that, and y'all know that the stuff that I live for are these way too early top 25s. I love getting excited about the next season, like as early in the calendar year as you possibly can. Late December, early January is not too early for me to start thinking about the, as I like to call it, the upcoming season. And certainly for Georgia, that means 2019. Here and congratulations goes out to our friends over at Athlon Sports, who I believe, unless I've missed something, they become the first publication for the year to put out a way too early top 25. And if there are any ill effects for Georgia when it comes to its Sugar Bowl debacle against Texas, they don't seem to be felt by the folks at Athlon with the way too early top 25 here. Let me show you the top five from that way too early Athlon top 25, where Georgia is comfortably nestled in there at the number three position ahead of Oklahoma, who, by the way, you may be hearing a lot from over the course of the next few weeks for a multitude of reasons, and Ohio State for much the same thing. You may be hearing you know, some former Georgia names connected to that program there as well. But as it stands right now, UGA still ranked ahead of both those teams. Oklahoma playoff team the last 2 years, Ohio State a perennial contender, and just behind Alabama and Clemson. So for those folks who are saying, oh gosh, the sky is falling, Georgia has lost to Texas, and this program has kind of lost its way, Athlon Sports doesn't think so, and the other national publications who will soon be putting out their way too early top 25s, You may see Georgia a spot or two below that, maybe down to number four in some cases. But number three, number four is about the preseason ranking you expect Georgia to tote for much of the year here as we head towards the 2019 season. So I thought that was worth bringing up. Let me also remind you that our Around the Doghouse is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. They can help equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. They're a family-owned and operated company, which means you get a branch right here in Georgia, but it's also backed by a national company. That means you get that kind of high-level service that a national company can provide. Plus, Pella offers the best lifetime warranty with top-of-the-line equipment and unparalleled expertise. You can also get 40% off qualified installations or 0% APR for 60 months. That's valid all the way through February 7th, so you want to make sure you act on that right now. Just simply to schedule your free in-home consultation, check out PellaSoutheast.us or give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. It's 404-445-2979 or PellaSoutheast.us. U.S. Pella Window and Door of Georgia. It's viewed to be the best. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, we've got a busy show coming up. We need to do our Kroger checklist. Why don't we push that back for a minute? I want to get people updated on what's happening around the world of Dog Nation here. We'll push the Kroger checklist back here just for a moment. We'll do that a little bit later on in our program. For now, here on Dog Nation Daily, want to get excited, want to get ready to do a talk, some recruiting stuff, get ready to welcome in Jeff Sintel to the program. Don't forget, it's Tim Worley later on. Fly from San Antonio now. The look at Tyreek Stevens and everything else that could happen for UGA here on the recruiting trail. Let's talk to Jeff Sintel. It's good to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Jeff Sintel, good enough to join us again here today on Dog Nation Daily after being with us yesterday because we hadn't had a chance to talk to him a lot about the recruiting stuff, just given the focus and the attention on the Sugar Bowl. He kind of gave us some tidbits yesterday, but now we move into a more serious conversation here today, the day before guys like Tyreek Stevens get ready to make their announcement from San Antonio tomorrow. Jeff, first of all, thanks for your time. Good to be back with us. And I know you're in San Antonio right now, but you'll be back here in Atlanta next week. And I know you're just as excited as I am about Marlowe's and Dunwoody on Tuesday. What a fun time that's going to be, Jeff. I cannot wait to be back to our roots here, the way we started these Marlowe's broadcasts a couple of years ago, kind of digging in there and giving the scoop and the skinny, kind of privately behind the scenes in a Marlowe's event like that. How much fun is that going to be on Tuesday?
It's going to be a, I guess, another Marlowe's Tavern tell-all for everybody out there. And it's funny, guys. You get to see all the people that want their pictures with Brandon and want to talk to Brandon, compare those delicious craft cocktail recipes. It really is quite a sight when people get to see Brandon at a Marlowe's.
Listen, in this particular case, people are coming to see you, Jeff. They want to hear what you got to say, and we're looking forward to doing that. And I guess let me also, I guess, begin with this, which is something we talked about off the top of the program. A big day for Georgia tomorrow is Tyreek Stevens, and the four-star defensive back gets ready to make his announcement. And Jeff, one of the things that I did before you joined us is kind of went back in time and, you know, shared some of the things that Stevenson said about Georgia in the past, all courtesy of you from Before the Hedges, DogNation.com, things along those lines. And what you hear is a guy that has felt fondly about Georgia for quite some time. Now, when December 19th rolled around, a lot of his high school teammates made their college decision. You know, Stevenson wasn't ready to make that announcement then. Maybe he was getting pressure from the hometown school, Miami, or maybe he was getting pressure from the TV folks there in San Antonio one way or another. He didn't want to say anything there on December 19th. But tomorrow is the day. Georgia fans have felt good about this. Would you encourage UGA fans to pump the brakes on that optimism? Or you've been around Stevenson some this week. You've been around people also who are close to Stevenson. What do you make of this, the eve of his announcement?
Well, I'm sure this is one of those questions where everybody's going to want to lean in real close and hear what's going on right there. I will say this about tomorrow. Regardless of what happens tomorrow, we're not one but two Georgia targets tomorrow. When we do our Before the Hedges every Wednesday and we start trotting out the new remaining top list or the hot list or the remaining top targets, whatever decisions are said, whatever hats are put on Saturday, we'll have a new top two because the decisions of Tyreek Stevenson and the decision of Jaden Hazelwood will be out there in the world, and then that will be time for us to move on. Some things about Stevenson that I found interesting when I spoke to him this week is he confirmed that he did not make any sort of decision at all on the first day of the early signing period. He also told me when I asked him that he signed financial aid papers, which would give him the ultimate accommodation about whether which school he wanted to choose when any sort of last-minute coaching changes were made. I found that very interesting. The other thing is Tyreek's at peace with it now. He said a lot of Georgia recruits and a lot of other recruits, you know, Miami recruits, they're all talking to him. But he's not giving anything away this week. They're trying to lean in, trying to figure out where he's going. He's basically just trying to keep all of that at an arm's length and tell guys, we'll all find out on Saturday.
So let me follow up on something there. It sounds like you're saying that Stevenson has signed financial aid paperwork, which would bind the school to him, but doesn't bind him to the school, as opposed to some of the rumors that are out there about Jaden Hayes, whether he may have already actually signed a letter of intent. It sounds like Stevenson's situation may be different here, which means that some of the stuff that he recently tweeted about Manny Diaz, being excited about Diaz coming to Miami, maybe that comes into play a little more here. I mean, you know, how much does that coaching change, a defensive coach that presumably he probably liked, otherwise he wouldn't be considering Miami in the first place, and a guy who does seem to be, at least for the moment, bringing more energy to the Miami program than Richt was before he decided to retire, how much does that coaching change and some of the buzz you're hearing about Manny Diaz potentially impact what Stevenson might do tomorrow?
Well, he likes the change. That's pretty clear. The thing there with Tyreek, and I mean, I got a chance to spend some time with him this week, but also some extended time with him yesterday. And it's really we'll have a lot of coverage up on the site today, but it's a very interesting young man with where he was at with his decision, with the last minute moves that were made. He sees himself at both campuses, and I know that's the intrigue that everybody wants to, you know, kind of sprinkle the hot sauce on their upcoming decision. But I really think that Tyreek Stevenson, the dream chaser, feels really comfortable at both places. And it's funny, Brandon, and we'll have the full quotes up on the site, but the way he describes the fit at Miami is what most would feel he would think about the fit at Georgia. And the way he describes the fit at Georgia is the way most would feel what he would likely say or be more likely to say about the fit at Miami. So, not trying to be the guy with ultimatetees.com here, but like, it is very interesting listening to him talk about the process and the manner and the way in which he made his decisions.
For a lot of Georgia fans, when it comes to Stevenson, there's this conventional wisdom of, oh, he can't stand up and say that at his school because he's going to get so much pressure to go to Miami. He can't pull, an A.J. Brown and basically tell, you know, his hometown folks that he's, you know, darting out of the program. Or, you know, I know that was probably hard for Channing Tindall a year ago, leaving Columbia, South Carolina to come to UGA. There's a lot of examples of that where, you know, it's hard to tell a hometown crowd what it does not want to hear. What would you say to the Georgia fans who say that it's a lot easier to get Stevenson to announce UGA in front of a TV camera in San Antonio than it is in front of a high school audience in a South Florida gym?
Well, I think it's just the manner of Tyreek wanting to have that moment that a lot of other great players have done. At this game, you know, guys like Andrew Luck, Reggie Bush, Patrick Patterson, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, the list goes on and on about great players at this game. You know, Isaac Nauta for Georgia announced his decision here. For me, you hear things from his family, and they kind of want him to branch out and get on his own and flap his wings, so to speak. And I guess I just kind of think about things that James Cook and Devon Wilson and Tyson Campbell have told me, whereas Athens seems more slow. It seems more purposeful. It seems like it's there as a way station on the way to professional football. They don't think there's anything really good for them in 305 anymore. So I think Stevenson will make the choice best on his future, not any sort of hometown or familiar obligations with all of that.
That's really interesting to think about, Jeff. Thanks for sharing that. Let me talk about Jaden Hayeswood here for a moment. And at this point in time, I just haven't really met any Georgia fan lately, both, you know, on our comment section, social media, whatever, that's all that optimistic about Hazelwood tomorrow. For the most part, people think this ship has sailed, to go back and use the gift that you like to use at the forum, at forum.dognation.com from time to time. You know, is this indeed a closed book now for Georgia? And if so, would you mind just spending a couple of seconds, you know, giving us a postmortem on what truly went wrong here and why this was, now destined not to take place?
Well, I think there's some coverage that I'm saving this week that will And essentially for this, my occupation as a newsman is to write about the most impactful Georgia stories every day. And tomorrow, whether 12-year-old Georgia fan Brandon Adams is dancing up and down the aisles of Dog Nation World Headquarters because that five-star receiver he's had his eyes on for so long, somehow like a prodigal son would make his way back to Georgia, that's going to be a big story. But then if Jaden Hazelwood doesn't choose Georgia, what went wrong, or maybe what went sideways or south with Georgia, with a young man for the longest time that was so entrenched at the University of Georgia? I still, when I'm going to think about this 2019 recruiting cycle, I'm going to think about how Jaden Hazelwood spent the first day of 2018. That's running out of the front door with his shirt off in chilly weather, screaming "Go Dogs!" because he knew the Bulldogs were about to knock off Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. I think his recruiting is a very interesting test case for all explorations about why these young men, and no decision is ever final and nothing is ever 100% certain.
Yeah, that's certainly the case with Hazelwood, who has his process has evolved a lot over these last couple of years, and it seems like, you know, very, very, very stark differences between how he seems to be approaching this process now, what it was like for him back when he's a sophomore when he first committed to Georgia, and as you said, with the Rose Bowl a year ago. There was something else that you've written at DogNation.com over the last couple of days that kind of perked my attention a little bit. Doug Nestor's an offensive lineman we've talked about from time to time here. You and I have talked about him. We've talked about him in addition to that here on Dog Nation Daily. That's a player that I think could have some value for Georgia here. One of the things I was kind of struck by, though, a little bit is that when it comes to guys like Xavier Truss and some of these other Georgia signees there in San Antonio, they haven't been extending a big-time push yet to Nestor. Jeff, that's a huge difference from, if you want to go back to the 2017 class, when Andrew Thomas was, you know, thrilled to hear about the five-star offensive tackle Isaiah Wilson joined the class, despite the fact that at that time it seemed like they may be both competing with each other for playing time. What do you make of the difference in the way that these offensive linemen in the class of 2019 seem to be approaching this, a little bit different than some of the other position groups we've seen from UGA in these recent recruiting cycles, including back in 2017, where it seemed like this program, including the alignment of who are a part of it, couldn't get enough good offensive linemen? A little bit different approach from these 2019 guys, or am I reading too much into that?
Well, let me combine a couple of things here. First of all, Xavier Truss, who's here, the offensive tackle, the commitment, we will call him on this program until the end of time, the most highly decorated college football prospect in the history of Rhode Island. Just because it kind of sounds nice to include that in a class at Georgia. But with Truss, a little news to unpack there. Number one, he's got a slight ankle injury. I don't know if he's going to play on Saturday. Sounds like he's really limited in terms of that. Maybe a 20-30% chance he plays at all. Also, Truss, who went into his senior year right around 350, is all the way down to around 315. That's a significant chunk of weight. Putting some good weight, losing some bad weight on for him. When I see Truss, when I learn about Truss, I do think he's going to be kind of maybe a redshirt candidate early for Georgia. But as it relates to Nestor, Brandon, you'll be glad to hear that Truss decided he was going to amplify his recruiting efforts and start working on his roommate about a day ago, maybe a day and a half ago. He wants to try and snatch Nestor away from Ohio State. And very interesting. Georgia views him as a tackle. Most of the college scouts view him as a guard. Nestor is actually working at guard a lot this week in San Antonio, but he's going to be a guy. Once the decisions are made by Stevenson and Hazelwood, Nestor and the name Kair Elam, those two names are going to shoot up to the top of the top targets remaining or most wanted remaining for the Bulldogs for the class of 2019.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting to think about, and thanks for the update there on that. Let me finish with this. You're in San Antonio now, but you had been in Orlando, and one of the names you mentioned yesterday was the four-star wide receiver R.J. Henderson as a name that Georgia might get involved with, and maybe that's still true, but Jeff, I'm sure you saw this. The weird moment from Orlando last night when Henderson announces, I guess we're going to call this a commitment, to Florida. Jeff, I don't want to read too much into this because that's a dangerous thing to do, body language on TV. But I got to tell you, Jeff, RJ seemed about as happy about going to Florida as I would be. It seemed to surprise the recruiting world a lot with Henderson choosing the Gators. The truth is, this is a player I'm playing a little bit of catch up on as it is. He hasn't really been on my radar that much anyway, so I'm not going to pretend to be some sort of expert on RJ Henderson. I haven't been following his career that closely until a guy like you mentions him on the show yesterday. And I know you've been following him certainly for a lot longer than I have been. But this is pretty weird, Jeff. I mean, I don't know if this is a deal of are these TV people really strong-arming these kids into making some sort of decision on TV just to improve the TV product? Is this one of those things where maybe Dan Mullen's doing a better job in recruiting than I've given him credit for? Or is this one of those deals where, this recruitment's far from done despite the fact that he made this thing on TV last night? What did you make of what happened with R.J. Henderson last night?
I'm just going to call it strange, but I'm going to call it par for the course for the 2019 recruiting class. I mean, lots of examples of this. I don't know if R.J. Henderson, I say this a lot. I say it on the message board a lot. Sometimes there are schools that are destined to finish third, fourth, and fifth, and maybe that might be where Georgia is. I think they're going to get a late official from R.J. Henderson. It might depend on what the needs look like for the remainder of the class. I can see Georgia kind of looking for that best available prospect type guy. You know, John Rhys Plumlee, you're hearing a lot of interesting things about John Rhys Plumlee. Once all the dust settles, a lot of schools are going to come after him as one of the top remaining targets in the extended old school signing period in the push until February. R.J. Henderson's going to be a guy that, he was at one time committed to Oklahoma. I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock in a lot of late flurries of crystal balls regarding him, especially the ones that led up to this week, because Florida State, in and of itself, which is what the crystal ball traffic said, pointed to him choosing Florida State. I think this is just a decision that is very much in mid stages of him fleshing out what he really wants. But you did say something very interesting. I would really like to see a Kroger or a Marlowe's commercial where Brandon Adams mimics committing to the Florida Gators. That would be quite interesting. I'd really love to see something like that.
I will say, if I did do that, I'd smile about as much as R.J. Henderson was smiling last night, if that was the case. It sounds like you think he may still visit Georgia before all this is said and done, so maybe they get back involved. Maybe it's a Florida State. Maybe it's something like that. But this seems like a lot of work left to do for Florida, despite the fact that he put the Gators hat on last night. Hey, real quick before we let you go, because I know you got a lot to do today, let me just squeeze in this 30 seconds worth here. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Stevenson. We've talked some about Hazelwood. But the game itself tomorrow, for the folks who get a chance to tune in and see this in San Antonio, the stuff that you've been seeing for the last couple of days at practices and in one-on-one conversations, can you give just a quick 15, 20-second primer for fans in terms of what they ought to be paying attention to for tomorrow?
Yeah, so 1 o'clock tomorrow, the All-American Bowl. I think they're going to have some interesting news around the game itself on Saturday. But also what you're going to see is lots of Georgia guys. There's four current commitments to the University of Georgia. I mentioned Xavier Truss. He's probably going to be on the sidelines watching. But you've got Trevon Walker, Nolan Smith. You've got Dominic Blaylock. Everybody, no matter what happens tomorrow, I hope everybody gets a sense to just appreciate Dominic Blaylock. You've also got a couple of big high-profile decision announcements between Tyreek Stevenson and also Jaden Hazelwood. But I guess the main thing, and this kind of gets lost in everything as well, is Georgia has the number one prospect in the country for this game. That's Nolan Smith, kind of the undisputed leader slash spokesman slash court jester slash energy guy of the class. And it's funny the stuff he's been doing this week. He's been working at inside linebacker, outside linebacker, defensive end. He's one of the middle guys on kick coverage teams and kick return teams. He's been trying to block some punts. I've seen him in DB drills. I'm waiting for him to start kicking field goals. But really what Nolan Smith has done, in my view, and in the view of a lot of others, is he's established himself as the clear-cut number one player in the country based on everything he's done here so far.
Yeah, I would invite folks to check out the video that Jeff posted at DogNation.com as part of his Centel Intel this week of Nolan running those defensive back drills. Let me tell you something. That guy has got athleticism to spare. That was pretty impressive to see. Jeff, we appreciate your coverage in Orlando and San Antonio. Looking forward to having you back in Atlanta next week to be with us at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody on Tuesday. Of course, we will read a lot from you over the rest of the weekend there at DogNation.com. And we'll look forward to getting a chance to speak to you on Dog Nation Daily very soon here as well.
Hey, guys, best weekend to everybody. First great weekend of 2019 is coming up, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Well said, Jeff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, really good stuff from Jeff Sintel. I mean, you talk about a guy, you know, who's really, you know, playing full speed right now. To be in Orlando and bring all that coverage, be in San Antonio, bring all that coverage. It's great to have all that from Jeff Sintel. And as he said, we will be leaning in closely to find out what a guy like Tyreek Stevenson does tomorrow. And, you know, Jeff will be all over it. We'll also be, you know, working around the clock here around Dog Nation as well to bring you every angle of that. So stay tuned. Stay close to the Dog Nation video channels tomorrow as well. We may have some fun and surprises for you there in that regard also. Before we get Tim Worley, the great former Georgia running back, to kind of share some more of his thoughts about what he did not like about Georgia's performance in the Sugar Bowl, let me do the SEC through here. And, you know, we get to do my bookie best bets here on the SEC through from time to time. And I'm actually really excited about this. My friends from my bookie are wanting to remind you that NFL playoff football starts this weekend. I got to tell you, you talk about settling in to watch some of that, especially if you're like me. And admittedly, I'm a lot more of a college fan. I don't really start paying close attention to the NFL until you kind of get to this time of year when there are no college games being played. That doesn't matter. You can still make the games fun to watch by getting some action down on the game, over, under. You know, you can pick the winner, you know, money line, you know, whatever you want to do. It's all for you at MyBookie. And the great news is you can find out why that they are the sports book that Dog Nation would trust, because they're known for the fast, no-hassle payout when you win. And right now, you can even get your first deposit matched up to 50%, but you got to go right now. It's a 50% deposit bonus when you use the promo code DogNation. It's all one word. Spell the way it's supposed to be, D-A-W-G. Just simply find MyBookie online. Just type in M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E, and it'll do the work for you. And then use the promo code DogNation. And after that, you play, you win, you get paid. And when you use the promo code DogNation, your first deposit is going to be matched up to 50%. So speaking of those NFL playoff games, let's do a quick MyBookie best bets here. And I'm going to give you my quick thoughts on who wins the wild card games this weekend. We don't do a ton of NFL here on Dog Nation Daily for good reason, but I can certainly try to pick some winners here. So without further ado, here are the games. Indy's at Houston Saturday at 4:30. Texans a 1.5-point favorite at home. I don't have a strong feel on that game one way or another. That, for the most part, is a stay away from me. I guess I'd be leaning more towards Deshaun Watson and the home team, so give me the Texans. But I'm not going to make that a full-fledged my bookie best bet. But if we keep it rolling here, I do really like Seattle. Getting points on the road at Dallas. Russell Wilson versus Dak Prescott's a quarterback mismatch. Give me the Seahawks as a MyBookie best bet, catching two on the road there. Chargers go all the way to Baltimore. Ravens, believe it or not, are a 2.5-point favorite. Lamar Jackson is starting this game for Baltimore. That's enough for me. Team traveling west to east, that's usually a rough deal. Lamar Jackson's an exciting quarterback. Give me the Baltimore Ravens. I feel pretty strongly about them as a home, slight home favorite and a MyBookie best bet. Final game from the NFL over the weekend, Philly at Chicago. I can't go against Roquan Smith. Give me Chicago by a million. Bears are a MyBookie best bet. Although they are favored by a lot of points there. So your mileage may vary on that. They're favored by a lot. But it would be off-brand for me not to go with Roquan, so that's what I got to do. I'll take the Bears as a MyBookie best bet. All right, let me do a couple quick SEC stories here. I mentioned the Athlon Sports, the Way Too Early Top 25. A bunch of SEC flavor to this. Alabama's a top 10 team, number one, as you might imagine. You've got LSU back in the top 10 again, according to the folks from Athlon. Florida's at 7 here. I predicted that Texas A&M would be a top 10 team in 2019. According to Athlon, they kind of agree. Auburn sneaks in this top 25 there, kind of late there. So a lot of SEC teams in the top 10, including teams that Georgia plays, like Florida and Texas A&M. And I guess I kind of agree with Athlon at the moment. I don't see any reason right now why LSU shouldn't be back there in that conversation again next year as well. There is some player movement worth mentioning here. Florida's losing a couple of guys. Voshon Joseph and the running back Jordan Scarlett have both announced they're on the way to the NFL. That's a potential, you know, sizable loss for Dan Mullen going into year two. Looks like he's not going to benefit from what Kirby Smart had in his second year when, you know, running backs like Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel decided to stay. Jordan Scarlett's not going to do the same favor for Dan Mullen, as it appears. What's also interesting here for Georgia, I mentioned the fact that Georgia plays the Aggies, Texas A&M, next season. Travion Williams, the outstanding running back for Texas A&M, who would be a load for Georgia to deal with when the Aggies come to Sanford Stadium next November. That's not going to be a problem now, as Williams has also decided that he is moving on to the NFL. So pretty big news there in that regard, that a player that Georgia would have had to face is not going to be there. Then let me finish up with this, a part of our SEC through. AJC reporting that looks like Jeff Collins, the Georgia Tech head coach, has made a pretty substantial hire here, on the verge of doing that. It looks like Brent Key, the Alabama offensive line coach, is on his way to Georgia Tech. That's what I'm going to imagine is going to be kind of a dual offensive line, offensive coordinator type role for him there at Georgia Tech. Now, this is one of those weird scenarios where this could hurt Georgia in one regard, help Georgia in another regard. Georgia goes head-to-head with Alabama for a lot of offensive linemen, including for the rest of this 2019 cycle with a guy like Darnell Wright. No Brent Key at Alabama, to a certain degree, probably helps Georgia a little bit. But the flip side of that is there's also a little bit of a challenge involved here when you bring in a top-flight recruiter like Key, or I should say a top-flight recruiter like Key into Georgia Tech. All of a sudden, this is probably a better recruiter than I've seen on the Tech campus. Gosh, forever. I mean, I don't even know when someone at Georgia Tech could have been as effective recruiting as Brent Key has the potential to be. I don't know how many head-to-head battles Georgia Tech could ever win against Georgia, even with a effective recruiting staff like this. But it's certainly a new territory for this in-state rivalry. You know, for the most part, on this program, we ignore Georgia Tech. We talk about them one week out of the year. They don't really do anything beyond that to get any kind of discussion on a show like this. With a guy like Brent Key coaching over there, that could at least change a little bit, and we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, as promised, coming up in just a moment, we will discuss what went wrong for Georgia in the Sugar Bowl with a guy who was very outspoken about it all, the former great running back at the University of Georgia, Tim Worley, who was a first-round draft pick in the NFL, and a guy that thrilled Georgia fans for many years. In fact, Mr. Worley is good enough to join us here on Dog Nation Daily right now. Tim, thank you so much for your time on the program here today. We really appreciate you being with us. I know you've gotten a lot of attention this week, but thank you so much for taking some time to share your thoughts with us.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you for having me on, buddy.
Well, I know a lot of people have reacted, and I'm sure the feedback that you've gotten has been very strong. A lot of folks really glad to hear you step up and say the things you said about Georgia's Sugar Bowl performance. But for the small number of people in our audience who may not be aware of what you had to say, would you mind just sort of recapping what you thought went wrong for Georgia in the Sugar Bowl?
Well, basically, me and my wife, we were watching the game, and we just, of course, I was disappointed. And I got to thinking, we discussed some things, and I felt like I needed to write a blog post because, number one, I'm a University of Georgia alumni. And I was a part of that team and that system and a part of Tailback U. And I laid some tracks there, man, and I worked hard to do it. So, I'm coming from a place of commitment. We can call it old school or whatever, but I was committed, okay? And I just felt like, the Sugar Bowl game, I felt like the players and the coaches kind of dismissed it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because why? Because they did not get a bid for the playoffs. And my thing is, and I want you guys to understand something. I love the University of Georgia. I'm still committed to the University of Georgia. The University of Georgia did so much for me and gave me so many chances. That's why I'm sharing my heart, and this is coming from a place of love. Because I know what it's like. I know what complacency swept up under the rug looks like in the long run. It comes back and bites you in the rear end. So all you got to do is Google me and look at my story.
Sure.
And I'm just in a place, Brandon, where I don't want to see these young athletes or this young generation today. It's not just the athletes, but we're talking about the University of Georgia now. I cannot sit back and watch these young people destroy their lives through apathy and complacency like nothing doesn't matter.
I think the thing that you wrote that I probably agree with the most strongly, I know a lot of people agree with, a lot of what you had to say, but if you want to go back and look at those Saturday night tweets, and you've referenced this before, the dissatisfaction not making the college football playoff, to tweet out what a lot of these Georgia players tweeted, for many fans, that's going to be now an extra obligation to go out and prove in the Sugar Bowl that Georgia truly belong. But to some people, there seemed to be a disconnect between the, what was said on social media and what was proven on the field. And you called that a leadership failure. And certainly, it does seem to be a disconnect from what we typically have seen from Georgia, where players seem buttoned up and focused on, as Georgia likes to say, keeping the main thing the main thing. In this particular case, that would seem to be a departure from that, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, it is, you know. But, you know, my question is, did you really keep the main thing the main thing? Because if you're going to keep the main thing the main thing, I don't care if you were playing Clark Central High School in Sanford Stadium. You still go out and compete. And see, this is where the disconnect is. You know, a lot of people feel like, well, they didn't play for the national championship. They didn't play in the playoff to get to that point for the national championship. So we don't have to play hard. We don't have to go out committed. But guess what? Guess what you're doing? You're setting the tone for the next season. And sometimes, man, you just can't turn it on. You got to be in that commitment vein to make things happen. And I just felt like the guys just, you know, number one, being on social media and I mean speaking loudly and harsh, you know, toward the bowl committee, you know, saying all these things where you think you should be. You know what? If you would have beat LSU, you probably would have been in the playoffs, but that didn't happen. But anyway, you know, suck it up. Pull your bootstraps up, man. You're playing in the Sugar Bowl, which was a monumental bowl for the University of Georgia for the national championship in 1980. Go out and play ball. The fans come to see you play ball. They didn't come to see you guys lounge around and have a mediocre attitude and a dismissive, apathetic attitude about Texas. And guess what? Guess what, Brandon? They got kicked in the mouth, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a really strong statement, and I know a lot of Georgia fans are right there with you on that. You also mentioned DeAndre Baker, his decision not to play in the Sugar Bowl. You compared that to your own career conclusion, the Gator Bowl, which is still a great game to look back on and remember, a really good Michigan State team, the final game in Coach Vince Dooley's career. You said that, you know, you went out there, and just like a lot of these other draft picks, like Andre Rison and Tony Mandrich did, and played in that game, and critical of DeAndre Baker for not making the same decision. I guess what some people are going to say as a way of playing devil's advocate here is that in this new era of college football that we live in, that's a choice that's available to Baker. It's a choice that other, you know, draft picks have made, and that you know, when DeAndre Baker's got those millions of dollars on the line, that it's a reasonable expectation that he might not play in a game where it's not a college football playoff game, that this is just kind of the new era of college football. How would you respond to that?
Well, number one, I never mentioned DeAndre Baker. That was the media's thing. I never mentioned anybody's name. But, you know, things get turned around. But, you know, my hat goes off to DeAndre Baker. I'm not backtracking or anything because he did what he had to do. But all I'm talking about, man, is the commitment, okay? You're committed because I do feel like when these guys, and it's not just Mr. Baker, when these guys pull away and say, hey, I'm not going to play in the bowl game because I got to protect my stock, okay, I understand that. But guess what, man? You made a commitment when you signed that contract to come play football at the University of Georgia. I can see these guys backing away from the East-West Shrine, from the North-South game, some of these different bowl games that they get invited to. But when you're playing and you go to it, you get invited to a bowl like the Sugar Bowl, Gator Bowl, or Cotton Bowl, or whatever it is, that's still a part of that season, okay? And listen to this, Brandon. See, now we're in a time where bowl games count statistically for the players. Back when I was playing, those bowl game stats did not add to your regular season stats. So to me, that's an incentive. And you know, you do what you got to do. Listen, I came out of college my junior year, my redshirt junior year, number one, because I blew my knee out my sophomore year, okay? Didn't think I was going to make it back, but I did make it back 100%. I was predicted for sure the top 10 in the first round. That's the only reason I came out. And I'm not knocking Mr. Baker at all. God bless him, and I hope he make all the money in the world and take it to the next level. But listen, man, as long as you're a student athlete at that university, we play the last game until our career is over there. That's just me. You call it old school, but I just call it commitment.
Yeah, I think it's certainly a strong statement. You wrote about in your piece about how the Sugar Bowl mattered, and maybe the Georgia players didn't, you know, play like it mattered to them. How does Georgia bounce back from this? Where does Georgia go from here, and how do they regroup after, you know, in your estimation, not living up to their, you know, billing there in that game in New Orleans on Tuesday night?
Well, number one, I'm a true believer that, you know, sometimes you got to get confronted and you got to get, and I'm going to say this, you got to get pissed off before you can move forward. You know, the truth will set you free. But, you know, there's a lot of pain in that truth. Now, here's two things that can happen, Brandon. You can either accept the truth, be offended, and move forward and make changes, or you can be offended and continue in your own ways. Now, let me tell you something. When I fell out of school, after I blew my knee out when I stopped going to class, and I got to tell this story, Brandon, if we have time.
Please.
You know, I fell out of school, and I had an opportunity to go to a junior college in Oklahoma in order to get my grades back up and to come back to the University of Georgia. Okay, now listen, I could have got offended. And there was an article in the paper that I read that Coach Dooley said that we were going to move on, you know, because we don't know if Tim's going to be here. You know what? I could have got offended at that. But you know what I did? I sucked it up, and he was right. And he showed me what the big team little me meant. They were going to move on without me because they had to. But you know what? It gave me strength. It gave me fuel to dig in and commit myself not only on the field but off the field in the classrooms too. And that gave me that – I mean, it just gave me that drive. And when I came back, man, we all know what happened in the 1988 season. But sure, that was that commitment there, man. But I do think, Brandon – the University of Georgia will bounce back. And all I can say, here's the challenge. What are you going to do in this confrontation? And the reason I'm confronting, because it's from a place of love. I've seen so much apathy. I've seen not just the University of Georgia, but from across the board, there's an apathy in the atmosphere. There's a dishonor and a disrespect, a casual approach about things. And my thing is, I think the mystery is gone. There's no mystery to next level anymore.
Yeah, no, I think that's really interesting. You mentioned in your UGA Wire piece that you're a leadership development consultant. Obviously, we hear the passion with which you speak. Tell us a little bit more about your role as a leadership development consultant and kind of the stuff that you are doing these days.
Well, number one, Brandon, thank you. You know, my business is Worley Global Enterprises. We're a communications consultant firm. And my wife is Dede Worley, the former All-American gymnast at Alabama. So we kind of bring what we know and our experiences, you know, as athletes and what it took to be that great at high-level athlete. And we're bringing it into the business world now. And one of the things that I've learned through my failures, my victories, but more my failures, is just, you know, I know what the signs look like. I know what apathy does. I know what entitlement does. And those things almost destroyed my life, okay? And so I have a chance today, not only with NCAA schools and professional athletes, but also in the corporate world, to come in and do the leadership training and speaking, because it all transferred to the corporate world too, okay? But I learned these things through experience, through my experience, through my failures, man. And I just have, and let me say this, Brandon, I have a hatred. I have a hatred for young men and women, you know, just destroying their lives. Because we believe that how you do one thing is how you do everything. That apathy and that complacency and that casual approach, okay, that will seep into everything in your life that you desire to do. And eventually it will bite you in the rear end.
Well, Tim, I will say this. I remember your career at Georgia. It was a thrill to watch you play then. It's an honor to speak to you now. I know I speak on behalf of a lot of Georgia fans when I say thank you so much for your passion for the school, for the program, for these young men. Thank you for wanting to see the best for them in their lives to come. And I think a lot of people also agree with you that Georgia will turn the corner from this, that the future will be better than what Tuesday night was. But obviously you speak on behalf of a lot of fans who didn't like what they saw. And I know they're grateful to have you out there setting the example that you're setting right now. So thanks for coming on Dog Nation Daily and sharing some of this with us. For folks who want to find you on social media, how can they learn more about some of the things that you are doing with your consultancy and some of your business stuff?
Okay, my website is worleyglobalenterprises.com. My Twitter handle is @worleyglobalbiz. My Instagram handle is @worleyglobalenterprises. And my Facebook is Worley Global Enterprises. Hey, Brandon, can I say one thing before we leave?
By all means, sir.
Okay. I want to just acknowledge our fans. You know, it's not what I think or what I just know for a fact. We have the largest traveling fan base in the country. Georgia Bulldog fans travel very well, and they support their team. And I just want to say thank you to the fans. They're committed. The fans are committed. And so we want the players and all the coaches and everybody else to be committed. I don't care what bowl game we're playing in. And I just want to say thank you to our Bulldog Nation. And number two, thank you for I want to say thank you to the University of Georgia that gave me an opportunity back in the 80s. You know, I had two or three chances at the University of Georgia, and they gave me the best opportunity to maximize my potential and my talent as an athlete there. And I love the University of Georgia. I love the football program, and I want to see these guys do great. And you know what? I still see these guys playing and contending for the national championship next season. It's just whatever you're going to do with the confrontation that you've been hit with.
Well, I tell you, this is such a passionate conversation, and I just really appreciate you sharing so openly and honestly with us here today, and we look forward to enjoying some of the same things you just predict right there, and it'd be great to have you back on the program again sometime. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Brandon. God bless.
God bless you as well, sir. That's Tim Worley, the great former Georgia running back, and what a conversation from a guy that you can tell bleeds red and black, and you can tell that, you know, some people agree with everything that Worley says there. Some people agree with part of what Worley says there. But the one thing that nobody can deny is that guy wants what he views as best for the University of Georgia. And when he sees a uniform that he loves, that G on the side of the helmet, that red and silver britches, when he sees that on the big-time national stage, he wants to see that team playing at its best. And really, no one can fault him for that. And certainly, appreciative of him for speaking out about what he thinks is right, what he thinks is wrong, and what he didn't like about the game on Tuesday night. A lot of Georgia fans really glad to have him out there doing just that. By the way, you can read the full text of what Worley wrote originally over at UGA Wire. We appreciate Tim Worley being with us on the program here today. Before we wrap up, though, let me look ahead to the weekend to come here for Georgia Athletics. A lot going on, and I want to do that as part of our Kroger checklist here. First of all, congratulations goes out to the Lady Dogs, who got their SEC schedule started off last night with a nice win against LSU. They're back in action later on this weekend, but it's the men's team that takes center stage tomorrow on the road in Knoxville against number 3-ranked Tennessee. This is probably not a great measuring stick for how good of a season Georgia's going to have. Thompson Bowling Arena against the Vols. Could be a tough test here. It's actually a pretty tough start to the SEC slate for Georgia overall because they play Auburn, I think, next Saturday, I think. So a home game against Vanderbilt during the week is going to be crucial. But at Tennessee is really, really tough there. Lady Dogs host Vanderbilt on Sunday. Joni Taylor's team tries to keep their winning ways going here. And then keep this date in mind as well as part of our Kroger checklist. January 14th looms as the deadline for juniors to declare or third-year players at a high school to declare for the upcoming NFL draft. For a lot of these Georgia guys, we may see resolutions before January 14th. For most of them, I think we will, the ones that are going one way or another. But it has to be done by January 14th. So that's a day to keep in mind as part of our Kroger checklist. And speaking of Kroger, if you have not tried Kroger Ship yet, you need to do it. It's the best way to stock up and save on thousands of items that can be shipped right to you. You can also shop now and save up to 15%, plus you get free shipping on your first order. Listen, this is a great New Year's resolution for you here in 2019. Make grocery shopping easier. With Kroger Ship, having this stuff delivered right to your doorstep, it's definitely going to do that. So check out your local Kroger, and you can find out how Kroger Ship can be a part of your life in the upcoming new year. All right, so we'll get ready to wrap up on the program here today, and let me tell you something. Tim Worley, I feel like I could run through a wall right now. I feel like I could bench 300 pounds, and that is not something that I would typically do on a normal day. He was really kind to spend some time here with us. And listen, around here, we always say we're the daily show for Georgia Bulldogs fans, daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. So we're always going to have a lot of affection and admiration for guys who also appreciate the product, Georgia football, the way that many of you do. And so, for guys like Worley, they're always going to have a home right here on Dog Nation Daily. And y'all know I'm a child of the 80s. So all these, guys, from the 80s have sort of special places in my heart as it is. So I love hearing Worley step up and speak up with the Georgia Bulldogs. And I know he's probably a Gator hater, too. And I know he loves the fact that it's now been 797 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten UGA. It's our Gator Hater Updater. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.